got like the Exodus thing. Marvellous. There it is. Thanks. So we're starting a new series this morning. Oh, I've got one of these this time. That's just great that I can do this. Excellent. If you're falling asleep. So we're going to start a new series this morning. We've been looking at Jesus over the last few weeks. I hope that was helpful to you. The message you're up on the website if you want to catch up with any of those. But we're going to start a new series. We've done Genesis. That was the first series I preached on here. And we're working our way then. So Exodus seems like it's a good place to go next. It's also nice and easy to find in your Bible. Nearly at the beginning, but not quite. So we're going to be looking at Exodus over the next few weeks. And I love the Exodus story. I think it's a fantastic story about people who were enslaved being free. It's a fantastic story about people who were in bondage finding that they don't need to live like that anymore. People taken from a land they shouldn't have been in to a place that they should be in. So I love the Exodus story. It's probably the most important story for Jewish people, the story of their redemption, the story of their freedom. But I also think that it's our story. Exodus isn't just a story about things that happened. It's also about things that are happening. I think that our story is about God taking us to freedom from places of slavery and bondage. I think our story is about God taking us from places we shouldn't have been in and taking us to places that we should be. I think that our story is a story of redemption. Our story is a story of freedom. And Exodus is also a fantastic album by Bob Marley. So all these are good reasons, I think, to and song. It is an album as well as a song, isn't it? Yeah, I've got a few nods from here. It's good. Thanks, Steve. So we're going to be looking at Exodus over the next few weeks. I would encourage you to have a little read of the book over the next... No, not a Bob Marley fan. Anyway, the rest of you, I'd encourage you to read Exodus over the next few weeks. Alan, I'd encourage you to improve your music taste. That'd be great. So this morning, I want us to look a little bit at the beginnings of the Exodus story. Because I think that when we understand where Exodus starts, we learn a little bit about how God moves through different situations. So let me set the scene for you. At the beginning of Exodus and at the end of Genesis, this is how it was for the Israelites. Everything's good. Everything's good. Everything's going well. I don't know if you've ever felt like you've got a period in your life where everything just falls into place. It's just a good week. It's just a good month. I went through a time in my life where I used to give my days scores, like football scores. Like, I know, like I won 2-0. Like a solid day. 2-0, good day, well done. And some days it was like 3-3. It's like such an up and down day. No one knew what was going to... Some days you like lose 4-0 and get two people sent off and you just think, oh, never mind. Start the next day. But sometimes we have periods in our life where everything just seems to fall into place. Where everything just seems to be going well. Times where there's more money than month. Times where the kids get on well with each other and they stop fighting. Times where the sun always seems to be shining. Maybe not between the months of November and March in this country, but times where the weather just seems to be going well. Times when the dishwasher doesn't break. Times when you realise that your job is progressing. That your boss, for some reason, really likes you. Times when you go into the office and all your colleagues are positive. Times when your boss is on your side and you feel like you're going to get the promotion. Well, that's what it was like for the Israelites. That's what it was like for Jacob at the end of Genesis. You see, Joseph, we saw a little bit of his story in Genesis. Joseph has got himself to a really important position in Egypt. And the Pharaoh shows him enormous favour. Pharaoh turns to Jacob and Joseph and that whole family and says, guys, have the best fields. Come into Egypt. Have the best area. Pick where you'd like to be. So they pretend to be shepherds, and life, to be honest for them, is all pretty cushy. At the end of Genesis, the Bible talks about these moments in our life where everything seems to be going well, where everything falls into place, where we've got more money than month and the kids get on. The psalmist says in Psalm 138, and I hope some of you can resound with this morning, I really do. says, I will give you thanks with all my heart. I will sing your praise before the heavenly beings. I will bow down towards your holy temple and give thanks to your name. For your constant love and truth, you have exalted your name and your promise above everything else. On the day I called, you answered me, and you increased strength with me. I hope for some people this morning you can resound with that. You feel that when you talk to God, he listens. You read the Bible and it makes sense. You're hearing things from other people that are encouraging you. You just feel like you are highly favoured. Highly favoured. And that's what it was like for the Jewish people. But I was reading the end of Genesis, where everything's going really well for Jacob and Joseph and all the other brothers. And there's this little line in it, just before Joseph dies, at the end of the book of Genesis, when all is going well in Egypt. And he says, God will surely come to help you and lead you out of this land. You think, what are you talking about, Joseph? What do you mean God will come and help you and lead you out of this? Everything's going well for you. You've got the best land in Egypt. You're very wealthy. Your people are prosperous. You've got everything you could need. But despite that, Joseph comes along and says on his deathbed, God's going to lead you out of this place and take you into something new. Because regardless of how well things are going in your life, the best is yet to come. One of my heroes is a guy called C.T. Studd, which I'm sure many of you will have heard. He's a very inspirational guy because he was really, really good at cricket. Now, I don't really know a lot about cricket. I don't understand a lot of the words like silly mid-on and leg gully and, yeah, oh, silly mid-off. Oh, I don't know. Strange words. So I'm not sure if he was good at hitting or if he was good at throwing. I don't know if that was C.T. Studd or maybe he was good at all of them. But he was a really, really good cricketer. He played for England. He played in the Ashes before it was the Ashes, you know, where we lost and burnt it. He was in that and he was really good and he was very wealthy. Top of his game. An excellent sportsman. And you think, C.T. Studd, you've got it all. You've got the money, you've got the comfort, you are highly favoured. God has really blessed you in your pursuits. And then God called him to go to China. And a lot of you will know the story about he gave up his fortune, he gave up his social standing, he gave up his sporting career, and he went to China and became a pioneering missionary. And if you know the statistics now, you'll know it's something crazy, like 28,000 people every single day are turning to Christ in China. You'll know that the underground church in China is exploding. You'll know that people coming to the Lord in China, there's vast numbers of people. Now, I don't know whether that would happen if a cricketer from the UK hadn't have gone to China. I don't know, but I know it helped. I know that C.T. Studd was a pioneer for what God is doing at the moment in China. And I also know he said yes to God when everything was going well. C.T. Studd didn't wait for everything to go badly before he said yes to God. And if you are one of those people this morning where you feel like everything's going well for you, I'd encourage you to read the book of the end of Genesis and know God has got more for you. Regardless of how good things are going in your life, and I pray they would continue, I also know that God's got more for you. I also know that God has got another adventure for you to go on. It was so good to pray for Grace last week as she turned 90. And as I prayed for her then, and I pray for all of us now, that regardless of our stage in life, we would know that God has got another adventure for us to go on. That regardless of where we are, God ain't done with you yet. There's always more to come. That was the story of the Israelites at the beginning of Exodus. And then as we read, it all just went a bit wrong. And suddenly, whereas the Pharaoh was very keen on Jacob, there's a new king in town, and he doesn't like you. And the Jewish people, the Israelite people, suddenly overnight, everything changes. Everything suddenly goes wrong. They start passing these xenophobic laws that would target the Israelites. Suddenly, these people who had been so welcome in this country, suddenly people start making comments. Suddenly, there are outbreaks of racist violence against the Israelite people in Israel. Suddenly, where their standing had been having the best land, they find that their slaves. They find that they're under bondage. They find that the laws are turned against them simply because of their race. And there might be some people here this morning who more readily identify with this than they do with the beginning of Exodus. Because sometimes in life, it all just goes a bit wrong. Sometimes in life, you don't see it coming, but it all just goes a bit pear-shaped. Suddenly, there's a lot more month than there is money. Suddenly, the kids start bickering and fighting. Suddenly, for no reason at all, your boss decides he or she doesn't like you, and that promotion doesn't happen. Suddenly, you go into your workplace, and your colleagues, for some reason, start turning against you. Suddenly, your family life isn't the same tranquil, Eden-like peace that it was a couple of weeks ago, and suddenly there's division and there's aggression, and you don't really know where it's come from. Sometimes you feel more isolated and outside of a community. Sometimes there's just far too much traffic. Sometimes it always seems to be raining. Suddenly your health suffers. The Bible can relate to you if that's your situation. Because the same psalmist, well, maybe a different psalmist, but in the same book of the Bible, who wrote those fantastic psalms of thanks, oh, thanks God, you hear me when I call, everything's going great, thank you God, you're great, also writes this in Psalm 88, I cry out before you day and night, may my prayer reach your presence, listen to my cry, for I've had enough troubles, my life is near Sheol, or my life is near darkness or death. I'm counted among those going down to the pit. I'm like a man without strength, abandoned among the dead. I'm like the slain lying in the grave, whom you no longer remember, and who are cut off from your care. The Bible can relate to your anguish and your pain. That's why I do quite like the Psalms, because it's very honest. I mean, he's not pretending. The psalmist here, if you asked him, how are you doing, probably didn't reply, yeah, I'm fine, thanks. The psalmist tells it how it is. God, you feel so distant, I'm crying out to you, why are you not doing anything? My energy, my health is sapping away from me, why won't you step in? I've been reading the book of Job over the last few weeks, and it's a similar story where everything goes wrong for this guy. And he's crying out to God, and he's like, God, why don't you just sort it out? Where's this come from? Why has this all gone wrong? And maybe you feel like that this morning. I don't know. Maybe you feel like everything's gone a little bit wrong. I just want you to know that you're not the first. You're not the first person to feel like that. You're not the first person to cry out to God and say, where, oh, where is your presence, God? You're not the first person to feel like your life, for no reason, no fault of your own, has suddenly turned bad. And the Israelites knew it. The Israelites knew that this was a pretty horrific situation that they were in. And sometimes we feel like we just want God to change the whole situation and fix it. But I was reading this passage this week. As you're pleased to know, I do actually read the passage that I preach on. Please know that I did that this week. And this little passage jumped out at me. And it just said, because the midwives feared God, they allowed the boys to live. And I was thinking about this. The whole situation is horrific. You've got a Pharaoh bent on ethnic cleansing. He's trying to wipe out a whole race. And you can imagine the Israelite people being like, oh God, won't you just change the Pharaoh? Won't you just break out, bring the Pharaoh down? Can't we all just be free of this nation? And at this point, God doesn't seem to do anything, except he uses a few midwives to save a few kids. Because sometimes when life goes really badly wrong, and we are waiting for the big miracle, let's not miss the little acts of love along the way that may not change the whole situation, but they certainly make a difference. Let's not miss, as we're praying to God for the big thing, let's not miss the little things that he's doing. It says in the scripture, don't despise the day of small miracles. And I would encourage you that regardless of how bad the situation is, God is on the move. God is doing something. God may not be fixing it all tomorrow, but he is doing something. And because this week our house is starting to resemble a little bit more like an explosion in a charity shop or TK Maxx, because people are donating like coats and stuff, and it's great. I was thinking about this. We've got some coats. You guys have given some coats to some refugees. That's what you've done. You've given some coats and some toiletries to some refugees. Has that fixed Syria? No. Has it fixed the refugee crisis in covering the whole globe? No. Has it sorted out Afghanistan or South Sudan or the wars? No, of course it hasn't. But let's not underestimate the effects that one small act of love can have. Let's not underestimate what one midwife can do when she decides to show love and grace to a helpless child. Let's not underestimate what God can do when we decide, well, we can't do everything, but we can do something. Because regardless of how bad life is, there is moments where there are little acts of life and love that may make a big change. So I would encourage you that while you wait for the big changes, you can still make the little ones. Whilst we do look forward to the day where peace covers the whole earth, once we do look forward to the day where there is no more pain and sadness and suffering, whilst you and your life look forward to the day when you don't suffer with the same family problems you have before, whilst you may look forward to the day when you are debt-free, whilst you are looking forward to that big day, that big miracle, that big move of God, don't neglect what God is doing. Don't ignore the little miracles. Don't ignore the little moves of God. Don't ignore that one solitary midwife who picked up one baby and changed the course of a nation because she saw baby Moses. She had compassion on him and she took him into her home. Don't despise the day of the small mercies. And it's into this mess, into this rubbish, with small acts of kindness, but where the situation is still hopeless, that our hero Moses is born. I'm just going to paraphrase what happens in chapter 2. We won't go into it in detail. But in chapter 2, Moses is born. Moses' mum can't bear the thought of him being killed, so she puts him in a wicker basket. She sails him down the Nile. And Moses ends up being taken in by Pharaoh's daughter. So in the very household that's seeking to kill the Jewish people, Moses grows up. And he's raised in this Egyptian palace by Pharaoh's daughter. And in fact, his mum gets to help look after him as he grows up in another act of mercy. And this is our hero's story. And then, when Moses is a bit older, he kills a guy. Which isn't the best start for someone who's seeking political office to lead a nation. Murder doesn't normally play well in the polls when it comes to leading a group of people. But that's what he does. Moses is walking along the street. I don't know if they had streets, but walking along the path. I don't know if they had streets. But Moses is walking along one day and he sees an Egyptian beating an Israelite. And everything in him sees this injustice and he seeks to stop it and he ends up killing the Egyptian. And he thinks he's managed to cover it up, but he hasn't because people know about it. And that's what happens in chapter 2. I was thinking about this week. How is it that this guy who is born, not really knowing who his family is. How is it this guy who's of the wrong race and ends up growing up with the people who are oppressing his kin? How is it that this guy ends up leading the Exodus story? How can a murderer lead a people? And I was thinking about how God works. Because God does use the mistakes of us. And God does use the mistakes of others in order to bring about his kingdom. See, because Moses kills an Egyptian, he ends off running off. And because he ends off running off, then God meets him at the burning bush. And we'll look at that in a few weeks. And God meets him at the burning bush. And he comes back and he leads his people to freedom. Now, let me make this clear. God did not make Moses kill that Egyptian. But God can use your mistakes in order to bring about his kingdom. That was Moses' free choice to kill that Egyptian. But there is no situation that God cannot use. If we hand it over to him, there is no situation so bad that God cannot use for his glory. Let me make this clear that God did not make Pharaoh enslave those people and kill those kids. God does not control the universe to an extent that he makes evil happen. But he can even use those things to bring about his kingdom. God can use the mistake of Moses. God can use the mistake of others. And if you look at Moses' character, you think, he's the perfect guy for the job. This is Moses on the side of the underdog. And God uses that later in his life in order to bring the Israelites out of Egypt. This is Moses, the dual nationality, who doesn't know where he belongs. What better person to take a nation out of one place and lead them to a new home? He didn't know where he was from anyway. This is Moses of the dual nationality. This is Moses who has got nothing to lose. What better person for God to use to gamble everything on bringing the people out of Egypt? This is the kind of God that we worship. And I'm just going to finish with this thought. That regardless of where you are in your life, whether you feel that everything is going really, really well, that you feel you are highly favoured, please remember that God has got more for you. Even the Israelites at the height of their power in Egypt, it's still not where they were meant to be. God still had something better for them as they came to the promised land. Even when life is really, really bad and you are waiting for the big miracle, do not despise the small miracles. Don't stop doing the small acts of kindness. Don't stop showing the small acts of love because you have no idea what a difference it makes. Even it might not fix the whole situation, but it will make a difference to the little situation. And regardless of your past, God is capable of using any mess in order to bring about, as it says here, his message. No matter how bad you think your past has been, God can still redeem it. God did not make those things happen to you, but he can redeem them into something good. I once met a man called Peter Loth, who had had an incredible story. He'd grown up, I think, in one of the concentration camps under Nazi Germany. He'd seen some unthinkable horrors, both under the Nazis and I think later under the communist regime. I think those were the two. And hearing his story, it was just time after time of people really messing him up. He saw countless people around him murdered, people he loved. But I saw him give his story, and at the end of it, I saw dozens of people learning to forgive. God didn't make those things happen to him. God wasn't in control in those Nazi concentration camps, but God has redeemed some good out of a horrific story. And now he goes around the world, and he has touched thousands and thousands of people with a message of forgiveness that they might not hear. God really can use your mess and turn it into something good. Doesn't mean he made it happen in the first place, but God is at work in all situations for the good of those who love him. Be honest with God, he knows where you're at anyway. Know he's got more for you if it's going well. Know that there are small mercies if it's going badly. And know that regardless of what's happened in your past, God can turn it around into something for his kingdom. Let's pray, and then we're going to finish with worship. Jesus, we thank you for the story of Exodus. We thank you for the story of you freeing people from sin, from slavery, from bondage. We thank you that that is our story as well. Thank you that you are making us free, that you have taken us from a place of death to a place of life. And Father, this morning, we want to thank you for your small mercies. We thank you for small acts of kindness and love that have touched our lives. And we thank you, God, that you are on the move. You are on the move when things are good. You are on the move when things are not. And we want to give all of ourselves to you this morning. Yes. All of our past mistakes, all of our past hurts and disappointments, all of our strengths and all of our weaknesses, all of our joys, all of our sorrows. And we give them to you this morning, Jesus. And we say, your will be done. We give you our lives and we ask you to mold them. Strengths and weaknesses together, Jesus. And we thank you that you are a good and powerful God. We thank you that you bring people from slavery to freedom. That's the kind of God you are. And that you are still working in that way today, Jesus. Amen.